They're not going to remember him, and it's a shame.
We'll get back to this in a second. Jonathan Hutton joins us now. He's at the Grove, so have you teed off yet?
I'm about to tee off, and what we're doing today, Jay, sorry for being a little bit late here, guys. We are filming on the course with Caleb Surratt, who played at Tennessee, and now he plays on the LIV Golf Tour. And, yeah, we'll see how this goes with the LIV Golf coming to town later this month. They just had a presser here, and some of the details are it sounds very cool for fans. And the party deck, there's a party hole here on the course that they're building. Big Joe would like to he'll be pleased to know that the food for the media center is apparently going to be the best media food in the state. That's what they're claiming. So we'll see how that goes.
You got my attention now.
They're also saying, I'm a bit surprised, this will be the most attended LIV event here in the States that they've had so far.
Oh, I believe it. And so we had somebody call earlier that was like, are you surprised that they're, you know, that the PGA has never had an event here? And, you know, I think the LIV Tour is going to, I mean, it's probably going to push them to do an event here, but you've lived here your whole life. I'm kind of surprised that they haven't been here because there's an appetite for it, for sure.
Oh, yeah, and there's been discussion over the years, and I've certainly asked about it because I would love to see it here. There are so many parameters and requirements, though, for what the PGA Tour needs. Setup-wise, the golf course itself, the owner of the course, doesn't receive that much money. In fact, the money goes back in to make sure the course is pristine. It's got to be 7,000-plus yards and really longer than that now to handle some of the scoring that would take place. And then you have to have all the room for the stand, the grandstands, the media center, everything that takes place. And they, I mean, more or less, those things destroy your course.
Right.
So there are a lot of things that go into not just the 4 days, but the week and the weeks of setup that, you know, that factor into the PGA Tour players. But now those players on the LIV Tour, and they're more about partying on the course of over 3 days wearing shorts. And I think that fits more of the Tennessee statewide golf course parameters. And we certainly see it with the FedEx Cup that comes through here in Memphis, but that's pretty much it. And it's you're hard pressed to find the golf course that can handle all of the extracurricular things that would take place. They have an amphitheater here at the Grove. There's going to be a concert with Dan and Shay on, I believe, Saturday after the golf is concluded. So it's they've thought of a lot of different things. There's a guitar putt, like a 40-foot guitar that they're going to have somewhere for fans to putt and win prizes. And they've thought of a lot of different things that will end up just being a really big party.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton this morning live at the Grove where the LIV Media Day is happening. You got a lot of influence down there, Jonathan. Here's what I want you to ask. Why can't we scream when a golfer's lining up for a 5-foot putt? Look, baseball, if Jonathan Hutton goes to the plate and it's bases loaded, you're down three in the bottom of the ninth, people are screaming at you. Why can't I scream at a golfer?
Well, it's like, you know, why can you fight in hockey but you can't fight in the NBA? Like, they're just different things.
Right. You
know, just different etiquette. There's certain parameters that every sport wants. And the golfer's going to get pissed off for greatness if you mess up his backswing. It's just part of it. I think that there should be a bit more poise involved in some of this, especially with the cameras clicking in the background. But I know this: whatever you think about LIV, the event itself is going to be loud whenever it's here later this month. So I anticipate not there won't be any golfers on the LIV Tour coming through here complaining about the noise in their backswing. If that's what you want to see, Joe, this is the weekend to come check it out. You can yell your heart out.
Well, I'll do that. But how does it, I mean, will this be a rousing success? I mean, I know it's still a couple of weeks away, but now it's kind of people are talking about it, kind of, you know, discussing it and the buildup. And do you think this will go over well? I mean, I think there's a need for it, and I think it's a good weekend for it.
Yeah, and I think what they're doing to promote the star power that will be here, you know, Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, who Caleb Surratt, who I'm playing with, played at Tennessee. He's on John Rahm's team, which is called Legion 13. He left school a year and a half in to go join the LIV Tour based on Rahm's invitation. Of course, you know, you've got all the different players who have left the PGA to join LIV. They'll be here. And I think the up close and personal aspect of it, where you can go and pay your ticket and get in and walk around, I think that it's just a different event. And Nashville shows up for big events. This is the biggest that they'll have in terms of what LIV offers throughout the U.S. so far. So, yeah, I think it'll be a rousing success. And many of these guys have never been to Nashville. Caleb Surratt, who played at Tennessee, just told me that he's never been to downtown Nashville.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, get ready. And he's 20 years old. And I said, even better. So, yeah, so he's in for an awakening on that. He flew in. He'll fly out tonight. But he's coming downtown right after the round of golf this morning.
No doubt. Football question for you. Justin Jefferson signs a 4-year, $140 million contract with $110 million guaranteed in that deal. It has reset the receiver market. He's the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. So what do you think this does moving forward? And I'll take it a step further because I asked Joe this question. Do you think that we're kind of seeing the end of the running back as we know it, just because there's so many, you know, wide receivers that are making all this money, and you're seeing like the athlete, so to speak, that has to do more than one thing? So how is that going to affect that running back position moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, the running back position itself is going to be affected by players who are in, you know, let's just go to the lowest level, the peewee football level, to the middle school, to high school. Growing up, guys, you either want to be the quarterback or the running back in my high school. Now it's quarterback or wide receiver. The wing tee is, you know, going to be – it's going to be tough to find players that want to play in a wing tee now in high school. It's already been kind of going the opposite direction, now even more so. And I think more and more people are going to want to play defensive end, even in some cases corner, because there's big money at corner at the very highest level of that position on defense. And then even defensive tackles getting paid at a very high rate. But wide receivers in that threshold now, and, I mean, Justin Jefferson's worth it. You know, there were talks, there's rumors going around that the Vikings were considering trying to move up to get Malik Nabers in the draft at 5, trying to move up to pick 5. And had that been the case, they would have not gone in the direction that they just did by extending Justin Jefferson, who wanted to be paid in the quarterback realm, and he ends up being paid just less than that as now the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL above Bosa. So, I mean, that's where he is. He's the best wide receiver. He's playing with a quarterback that's going to get him the football. And they have a ton of talent on that offense. He's the best. And for an organization that has been known for getting rid of the best wide receivers, Randy Moss, Percy Harvin, Stephon Diggs, they've invested in him. And in large part, they can do that because he's not a malcontent. And he's with a rookie quarterback on that rookie pay scale. So that fits into the parameters of a salary cap that is only going to continue to skyrocket with this new media deal that's just been signed.
Real quick, obviously DeAndre Hopkins' days of getting a deal like that are behind him, but I can make an argument that even at almost 33 years old, he probably deserves, you know, one more decent contract in his career. Now, you know, there are some thoughts, okay, maybe he's holding out, he wants the Titans to give him more for this year. He's on the second year of a 2-year deal, making $13 million per. I think that's a bad business decision if he holds out. But what do you think would be a fair next contract for him if it's by the Titans or somebody else?
Well, I think it's around the $10 to $12 million range, and it's guaranteed money. He's going into 2024 now. He was just paid the final guarantee of his contract on the fourth league day of the new league year, which is like March 13th or 14th. He was paid $4 million, and now he goes into a season where there is no more guaranteed money left on his contract whatsoever. The guaranteed money was a little over $10 million, I believe, of what was an 18, or like a 20-something million dollar contract. So he's trying to get another contract no matter where he is, and he doesn't want to get hurt and have nothing to show for it, even though he's made a lot of money throughout his career. The business decision there is give me more guaranteed money, and that would be on an extension that where it would be front-loaded. It was front-loaded for him with the contract here, where the Titans had an out after last year if they wanted to get out of it, but he played so well and was so consistent that they stuck with him. I think he counts around $18 or $19 million against the cap. I think it's 7 or 8% of what the Titans cap is going to meet this year. With all that being said, it's a business decision, Chase, that leads him to want guaranteed money in a season where he's a lame duck. He's in a lame duck year of his contract. He's going to play. The question is, do the Titans want him longer than this year? And I mean, I would, based on what we saw this past year. Ultimately, they'll work something out. If he misses minicamp, I think the maximum fine combined is a little under $100,000. It's like $16,000 for day one, and it goes up to $50,000 for the third missed minicamp, mandatory minicamp. But it all adds up to a little under $100,000. And keep in mind, he got an extra $500,000 the final day, final game of the season for meeting some incentives, and he's giving $100,000 back of a $4 million roster bonus that he just was credited to his bank account. So, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it may be worth it for him to stay away just to try to get something bumped up this year in a part of his career and at an age where he's got to make one more contract and one more payday if he can.
Well, Hutt, appreciate it this morning. I know you're about to tee off. Have fun, but I appreciate the quick chat.
Yeah, time to tee off and time to make a fool of myself here at the Grove.
You've got this, buddy.
I'm about to leave this course with more divots than it's ever seen.
Now that would be me if I played in this. But have fun.
All right, thank you, guys.
Jonathan Hutton from OutKick joining us live from the Grove.